was just wonderful. I would like for you to please turn to the book of Hebrews. We're going to begin in chapter 1. You know, in manifestation, some of the things that we heard regarding the faithfulness of our God, the love of our God, the things that He has seen, the things that He knows. you know, coming before His throne of grace, and we're going to look at that in a little bit. But you know, when you start to appreciate what God set in motion all the way back in Genesis and then has yet to see it all the way through to its fulfillment. But we're going to look at a little bit of that today. It's really breathtaking to, you know, sort of just sit back and take that in, how much God loves. The lengths that God and His Son, Jesus Christ, were willing to go to reconcile men back to Him and to be able to do what He's going to ultimately do. It's pretty amazing. And those are the kinds of things that, you know, we can think about when we go to the Father in prayer. Those are the kinds of things that we can think about when, you know, we're speaking God's word to somebody. Because those things are true. You know, it's like I shared earlier. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Isn't that amazing? So, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And I am going to read from the Working Translation. It just helps the understanding with a couple of these verses, so I just thought I would do that. And you should be able to follow along in the King James. But in Hebrews chapter 1 it says, God, who spoke in various stages and in various ways to the fathers by the prophets in past times, has spoken unto us in the last of these days by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also prepared the ages. And we're just going to stop here for a moment. That's a lot to take in. He has appointed, and we'll read a little bit more about it in just a moment, Jesus Christ, heir of all things. You know, we read in Ephesians, where he is, in Ephesians 1, he is seated, and this gives you an inkling of what that means. He is seated, how far? Just far. It's all this, far above principalities, powers. Well, here we read in Hebrews, it is Jesus Christ that's been made heir of all things. Isn't that something? So that is something we're going to want to keep in mind as we continue this morning. In verse 3, the King James reads, who being, it's actually in reference to His Son, the Son through whom He prepared the ages. So His Son, referring to His Son, and then it reads, and this is just a little simpler way to understand it, regarding His Son, who is, that Son, is the reflection of the glory and the representation of His essence, and who upholds everything by the word of His power. So, this Son is the reflection of God. He is the, there's a, this is a parenthetical phrase I'm reading. He is the essence, the reflection of the Most High God. Okay? So, verse 3 again, I'm going to skip that parenthetical part. His Son, having accomplished a cleansing from sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Isn't that beautiful? That Son who accomplished this is a reflection of the very essence of God Himself. Verse 4. He became so much better than the spirit messengers or angels, even as much as the name which he has inherited is more distinguished than theirs. Verse 5. As a matter of fact, did he, referring to God, ever say to any of the spirit messengers or angels? Now this is taken from Psalm 2. Did he ever say this to the angels? You are my Son. Today I have begotten you. And also, and this is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. Verse 6. Furthermore, at the time when he brought the firstborn into the world, he said, let all the spirit messengers or the angels of God bow down or reverence him. That's something. Moreover, verse 7. With reference to the spirit messengers or the angels, he says, and this is taken from Psalm 104, he makes spirits his messengers and flaming fire his ministers. But under the Son, or however, with reference to the Son. Now, this is taken from Psalm 45, okay? Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. And to understand this, that the context of Psalm 45, you can make a note of it. In verse 1, it is regarding the king. It is regarding that future king, okay? In Psalm 45, verse 6, it is that king of whom it is talking, speaking to God, which is what we're going to read in verse 8. And in verse 9, which is verse 7 in Psalm 45, it is what God says regarding this king. Isn't that cool? Fulfilling the scriptures. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of uprightness or righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Verse 9, then this is to the king. You, to the king, you loved justice, and you hated lawlessness. Because of this, God, even your God, anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Isn't that something? It's just so awesome. And these things were foretold in the Psalms. But here in this section in Hebrews, and we're going to come back to Hebrews 1 in a little bit. But in this section in Hebrews 1, you see who Jesus Christ is, what he's been made. And that's our Lord. He's our Lord. Isn't that something? When you read these things, he's our Lord. We're in him. That's who we're in. He's our Lord. He's our master. He pulled us out of the slavery of the world. Remember last week? You know, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Isn't that something? So you keep these things in mind. you know, regarding our Lord Jesus Christ. And this Lord, by the way, is not ashamed to call us brethren, which is just remarkable. Because I know what an idiot I am sometimes, right? But it's because of what God's done. It's because I've been sanctified by believing on him. And the same with you. It's really something. So with these things in mind, let's just look at a couple things, okay? In Romans chapter 4, we're going to come back here to Hebrews 1, so you might want to keep a finger there if you have a spare one. Romans chapter 4. And we're just going to read some familiar scriptures, but keeping in mind that Jesus Christ has been made heir of all things. And it's just remarkable to see some of these things that we're going to see in God's Word. In Romans chapter 4, and I think this is a familiar section to most of you, it's speaking regarding Abraham. Romans 3 talked about that righteousness to come. And Romans 4 talks about Abraham and how that he believed regarding that coming Christ, that coming seed. And it was by that believing that he was made righteous. And he was made righteous before the law was ever given. As a matter of fact, he was made righteous before there was an Israel. He was made righteous before circumcision, before all these things. And we'll see why here. In Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world. And this word world is the word cosmos. It's the order or the arrangement. Now watch this. For the promise that he should be the heir of the cosmos was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what?
Believing.
Right. This promise that it is speaking of was regarding Abraham and his seed being heir of the order or the arrangement of the world. Isn't that remarkable? And then verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith or believing is made void. And the promise made of what? None effect. And the promise made of none effect. I want you to turn to Galatians real quick. Galatians chapter 3. I'm just going to look at a couple things. This is a fun thing to work and to study. Abraham and his seed, heirs of that cosmos. Look at verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of believing, the same are the what? The children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, or the Gentiles, the Gentile nations, through believing, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of believing are blessed with faithful Abraham. It's really remarkable what God has done here and what's being shared. It's just this simple. Abraham received the promise that he and that seed would be heirs of the cosmos, of the world. Okay? That promise was made before Abraham was circumcised, before the law. But Israel came out of Abraham. But so does somebody else. And that's what we're going to see here. It's really cool. And that's why all nations are blessed with Abraham. This is sort of a Reader's Digest version of these things, but look at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He, referring to God, said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is who?
Christ.
Isn't that something? Which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ is not in the texts. So it reads, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, cannot overrule, that it should make the promise of God of none effect. There is not a law that can overthrow or overrule a promise made by God. And Galatians discusses this, which we're not going to take time with, how that law was a schoolmaster, a tutor, until believing came regarding Jesus Christ, regarding that which God gave to be believed, which is Jesus Christ. And I want to look at one more verse here in Galatians. At the end of chapter 3, verse 27. Well, let's read verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by believing in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the what? To that promise. Isn't that something? We are heirs of that promise that God made to Abraham by believing on Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are children of Abraham because we what? Because we believed. Isn't that remarkable? We believed the same thing that he did regarding Jesus Christ. So we're heirs according to the promise. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to pick it up in verse 15. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship. You've received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. We are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Christ. We are joint or fellow heirs or fellow participants with Christ. Isn't that something? We are heirs with him. That we may be also what? Glorified together. It's remarkable. Well, let's just keep reading. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. This suffering, and it's really suffer together. It involves all those things that are a part of living in this age due to the adversary being the god of this age, due to our living right alongside those who don't believe. Of course, we have the privilege to speak God's word to them. These are you know, the tribulations, the mental pressures, the trials, the challenges, all the different things that we go through in this life, all of which Jesus Christ went through, magnified. And regarding Jesus Christ, and I think I wrote this down, in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Because of that, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Isn't that beautiful? Jesus Christ went through it, and we are in this together. All of us go through this together, but all of us are going to be glorified together with him. And these things, in another place in the word, it's called the momentary lightness of our affliction. Those afflictions are varied, but in comparison to our being a joint heir, a fellow participant in what Jesus Christ is receiving, who Jesus Christ is, there's no comparison. And that's what's being said here. And that revealed, I think I've shared this with you before, it's to take the cover off. You know? At best, right now, we see through a glass darkly. Here, this, when it's talking about, that cover's coming off. For the earnest expectation or the intense yearning of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity or uselessness, or one definition of this word I thought was interesting, it's intransience, temporary. Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, or upon a hope. He has subjected the creation upon a hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, freedom of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain until now. It's something, you know, we just read about suffering together and suffering with him that we might be also glorified together. But really, all of creation is waiting on this, is waiting on the revealing of the sons of God. And not only, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption or the inheritance of the sonship, is what it means, to wit, the redemption of our body. This harkens back to being heirs, children of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. See, we are waiting for that inheritance associated with the sonship. That's what we're waiting for. And we groan within ourselves waiting for that. You know, here it's that Spirit is the it's the first fruits. You remember from the weekend, we consider that briefly. You know, it's the first fruits. I wrote this down. The first fruits is, you know, it's of the production of the earth. Kind of like the wave offering, the sheaf offering, barley harvest, so on, which was offered to God. It was also the first portion of the dough, from which sacred loaves were to be prepared. Isn't that beautiful? Hence the term used of persons consecrated for God for all time. That spirit is the first fruits. It's just the first fruits of what we're going to have as heirs, joint heirs, fellow participants with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Titus. We're almost done. Let's go to Titus, Timothy Titus. These are just things to chew on. You know? You know, when you're having a challenging day, think about your inheritance. Where to start? I don't know. Just start somewhere. Verse 3 of Titus 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes or at one time foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers or many various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. These are things that this is what we were identified with. This is how we were identified in Adam. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That beautiful? What great words. According to his mercy, he saved us. That is basically the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ha! Isn't that something? He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of Holy Spirit. This washing of regeneration, it's new birth. It's the washing of a new birth. Isn't that beautiful? A washing of a new birth and renewing, that restoring of Holy Spirit. There is a verse I want you to turn to. Look at, and then we're going to finish in Hebrews. Go to Acts chapter 3. I just want to read this in light of, and I should read verse 6 of Titus 3, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That washing of the regeneration of that new birth. In Acts chapter 3, speaking God's word here to these Judeans, verse 17, and I know, brethren, or now, brethren, I know that you did this through ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by his mouth. And it should read, by his holy prophets, since of old. Isn't that something? Whom the heaven must receive. But God's going to send them back. See? And that's what we're reading about in Romans 8. That's what we were just reading about. That day's coming. Just as sure as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he's going to send his son. Now let's go to Hebrews and we'll close there. Hebrews chapter 1. It's just fun stuff to think about, isn't it? We read down to verse 9 regarding God's speaking regarding that king from Psalm 45. Verse 10, and these things that we're reading are from Psalm 102, beginning in verse 25. But it says in verse 11, or verse 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up." Isn't that something? "And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." Again, this is taken from Psalm 102, and it's speaking of, it's speaking regarding God's accomplishments and His unending years. Okay, and Jesus Christ is a reflection in what He accomplished and His reign as King forever, through whom God has prepared the ages, with whom we are joint heirs. This is one of those things, it's like, you know, you just read it and, I don't know, pray. It's just amazing. And then it says in verse 13, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand," just like earlier, "unto which of the angels said, you are my son, this day have I begotten thee." That was Jesus Christ. See? "Unto which of the angels said, you know, you just let me take care of it till your enemies be made your footstool." No? That was who?
Jesus Christ.
It was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is set above all that. See? Angels being subject unto him. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" Verse 14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of what?" Well, now who would that be? We have salvation in that we have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe that God raised him from the dead, but there's a salvation to come. There's an inheritance of sonship to come. There are new bodies to come. All of these things have been accomplished and are as good as done. They're as good as done as when you read in Isaiah, "By his stripes you are healed," present tense. Right? A long time before Christ did what he did. This is as much a reality as what you read in Isaiah 53 was to Israel. Isn't that remarkable? So these are things we can think about. These are things we can ponder. This is really how we should see ourselves. Joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a Lord you want to serve. Right? Yeah, it is. So, amen.